Ray Williams Reel 5. So, in France, you had your sort of 8 weeks or so there. You've become quite a team, I suppose, your platoon, hadn't you?
Oh, yes, yes, carrier. Yes. Yeah. We were as a team, well, before we got there, we were close together, you know. The boys were like working as a team then. But again, there was about three sections in the platoon, you know, that perhaps you wouldn't be with every section every time. So you were only with your own little section. So it was, you didn't know what was going on around you, kind of thing.
How did the army look after you as far as the food and water and all the rest were concerned?
Well, they looked after us pretty good, I think. Yes, I
had field rations.
Field rations, yes.
Did you get any cook?
No, not while I was out there. We didn't have no cooked. It was mostly these packs used to get. I think it was a seven-man pack or something like that it was. And then you had your soup that boiled itself, a kind of thing, warmed itself, things like that, and cigarettes, chocolates in, and things like that in it. So you just shared it out between the seven of you. That was allocated that pack then. So that's how you, yes.
Mm-hmm. So did you do any scavenging? Did you catch any rabbits or find any apples?
No, well, we were in the orchards. But most of the apples we found there, they were for cider and things, so they weren't eating apples, actually. They were very sharp, yeah. Or some of the boys went scavenging, I know, you know, finding the cellars and looking for wine and things like that. But no, I've never been a person for alcohol, so yeah. It didn't interest me.
Did they find much?
One or two did, yes. Yeah. But even after they find it, you know, most of the boys were beer drinkers anyway. They weren't wine. Yeah. So,
No,
not in them days. So, yes, I suppose there was a few Calvados there, but most probably they didn't know what they were drinking anyway. Yeah, I remember one instance that there was a... There was quite a bit of attack going on at the time. We were being attacked from the air. And we're in this orchard, and we were all undercover, and there's this person, not in our section, he was from one of the infantry companies. He's coming through, and he's got his short little chap, and he's got his rifle on his over his shoulders, and it's tin hat on one side, and there he's coming in, and the shrapnel's all over the place, and he's up to you. Singing away with drink. He'd found somewhere with drink, and he was coming through, and he passed through the platoon, and everybody was having a good laugh at him. Yeah.
Was there any sort of discipline when you were out there, or you were just...
Oh, yes, there was discipline. Yeah. Yes, you had your sergeant with you all the time. You had your corporals with you. Oh, yes, there was discipline.
So they made sure
that
you'd
yes.
Done everything you
oh, yes, done. Yes. Oh, definitely. Yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. And, of course, there were boys you knew, and you obeyed them. You know, it was a question of, as a team, you mucked in, and they were very good. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because you were all very young, weren't you?
Of course,
yeah. Yeah. How old were you
then? When I went out, I was... I'd be 19, coming up to 19 anyway. Mm. No, I would be 19.
Yeah.
I would be 19, yes. I was 19 when I went out.
And I suppose
coming up to 20, actually. Yeah. Yeah.
But, the sergeants and the officers wouldn't be a lot older, would they? Or?
No, there was quite a few, because... our regiment, our battalion was what they call a TA battalion. Of course, they'd done the training before they went out, before the war broke out anyway. There was a lot of them with the army before the war broke out. And, of course, there was quite a few of them getting on a bit. You know. Well, Dunscombe, the boy that got killed, I think he was 36. Mm-hmm. He was the first boy that got killed with us.
Yeah.
And... He wasn't married. He was a single person. He was, but he was 36. I've seen his grave since, and I think the 36 he was then.
Yeah. Mm. Did you look on him as an old man then?
Yes. Well, of course it is. Yeah. You did. And anybody much older than you, we looked on as an old man anyway. Yeah. I'm thinking today, and when I was a young child at home, yeah, and I used to see the old men going down. And when I consider, we used to call them old men, and they were only 60 then, you know, when you think of today, and you see people walking about in their 80s, and, you know, it was quite common.
60
so
used to be quite an age.
It was,
you?
Yes, yeah. When
so
I was a young boy.
Man,
yes, yes.
In the industry.
Yeah. So when we used to see the, of course, there wasn't much transport about in them days. Most people walked anyway, from the village down to the town, and it was a question of, well, calling them old people, and actually they weren't really old.
Oh, dear. We've all done that, I think.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
So, how did you feel you were treated by the army when you were discharged? You know? Did you feel just left with your suit and your travel warrant? I mean.
Well, when I came out, they gave me a card to take to my exchange, and I got a green card, which was a disability card as well. So, with a disability, you could get more work than if it was an ordinary, because I did apply. When I come home, I wanted to have a trade. Mm. So I went down to the exchange and I asked at the exchange what they had in trades. And that's the only thing they could offer me was either a bricklayer or a carpenter, which I wasn't all that keen. I would sooner go into electrical work. So I asked about the electrical work, and he said, at that particular time, of course, I hadn't got my green card. They hadn't sent my green card on. And he said, the only time you can get that, he said, you'd have to have a green card, he said. And within a few days, the green card came with my pension. And I took the green card down, and he says, "Oh yes, now you can go, but you'll have to go away to Brentwood in London." Then I had to go there for that's where if I wanted to pursue electrical career, that's where I would have to go for training. And so he says, "Shall I book you down?" I says, "Yes." But in the meantime, I'd had a letter from Leicester to say that the wife has, of course, we were courting then, and that her uncle had got me a job there. So, of course,
was it?
Yes.
Yeah. So you were driving cars for her uncle. What did you do after that?
Actually, I was on lorries. It was a commercial garage we worked in Leicester. I'd done... As I say, I used to go down to the factories, collect the lorries from the factories, which was Dodges in London, in Kew, Thornycrofts in Basingstoke, Scarmills in Watford, ERFs in Sandbach, Foden's in Sandbach, Jensen's in West Brom, Morsley's in Coventry. So we had quite a range of agencies with the garage, so I was away every day, either fetching a lorry or taking one out to a customer or somewhere. So it was quite a busy job, yes, and I thoroughly enjoyed that. So when it came nationalisation, and that job finished, because then it was AMB licences I was doing, and British Roads Services took over the AMB licences. So the only lorries left to deliver then were C licences, which were people with their own lorries. So that job really finished. But I was offered work in the garage. But being on the road, I didn't fancy being. I wanted to get back on the road. So I went to the bus services. So I was on the corporation in Leicester. I drove from 1949 to 1953. I drove the corporation buses in Leicester.
And then what?
We moved back home then.
Yeah.
What I think was one of the deciding factors was that when we inquired about the education for the boys in Leicester, the intake for grammar in Leicester at that time was 8%. And down here it was 25%. So I decided for the children, I thought it'd be better to come down home. Mother had this house. My sister and her husband lived here, and they'd moved out. And mother and father were on their own here. So we decided to come back. And another thing, I could get my own house quicker down here than I would have done in Leicester. Of course, I had my brother-in-law living with me in Leicester. So when we came down here, I think we were 5 years with mother here, and then we moved up just up the hill there to the council estate. They built a council estate up there, so we moved up there. And I think we were up there for 14 years. Mm-hmm. And then I moved back here then to mother's end. I'd buried my father in 1960. I moved back to here then to mother asked me, would I come back down here? So I moved back down here and I've been here since. Yeah.
And what work did you do here?
Well, when I came back from Leicester, I went back to the template industry. It was still going, but it was coming to, the modern works were coming, like Trostre and Vlindre works, the rolling mills were coming, the modern rolling mills were coming then. The old templates works were closing down then. I worked for about 9 months there, and builder, I'd heard I'd been driving in Leicester, and he wanted a driver locally and asked, would I like a job with him? So I went to drive on the building for about 5 years. Mm-hmm. Then they were emigrated abroad because although they were from this country, one of the brothers that I worked for had been living in Rhodesia. And he went back to Rhodesia in 1959. So I finished with them. And then I'd done a couple of jobs then, and I went back on the buses then from 1960 to 1970. I was on the buses, again driving on the buses. And then I said when the three elder boys would be working, I would be coming off the buses and looking for a job inside. So one of the boys were working in a bearing factory, and he got me work there. Mm-hmm. I was there for 4 years, and I came back to the village to work then. There was a firm here, Coated Metals, which were coating aluminium on steel. Mm-hmm. And I had a work with them, and the last 15 years I worked there till I retired.
Right. Yeah. So what do you think, I mean, you suffered mentally from childhood for quite a long time.
Yeah.
How, does it affect you at all now?
No way at all. No. Yes, it's all gone now.
Do you think that's...
I don't know. I go back to Normandy now. I thought at first that it might bring back memories of it to me, but not really, no. Most probably because when I do go out there, I'm quite busy in organizing things and getting round places there. And so, yes, I do like to go back.
Yes, yeah. Mm. So, and the nightmares passed off quite
yes, quickly. Yes, yeah. Yes. Yeah. They went, as I say, I had them up till I got married. I had them for a while after I got married, but then they did clear up, yes.
So in what way do you think going to war actually altered the way the rest of your life ran? You know, would you have left this valley?
Most probably not. Most probably I would have made my home here, in my work here. Most probably I would be married here and I would have stayed in the valley, yes. I don't think... I don't really know. But at that particular time, it was the war that took you away. Otherwise, no, I'd never been to Cardiff kind of thing, and it's only down the road. So, yes, I don't know. You felt a little bit isolated somehow,
yeah,
until you started moving around. And then when you went, and I've travelled a lot since. I have travelled a lot. One of our main pleasures is the car. And I have travelled quite a bit in the car. And being I was on the road a lot over the years, I've travelled quite a bit in this country and I've been abroad. But I haven't done a lot of driving abroad, but I've been abroad. But yes, I like travelling.
Yeah. Do you think when you came back, did you find this place very changed after the war? Do you know what I mean? Had it...
No, not all that much. Because it's funny, somehow, I was living in Leicester and you never seem to have a minute to yourself. You're on the go all the time. You're down the city, back and forth, on the bus. You're on the go all the time. I don't know why it is. And once you come down here, everything stops. You don't travel down to the town. You don't go into town and... everyday kind of thing, and everything is quiet, and you're relaxed, more relaxed than things. Although you go to work every day, you're more relaxed about it. I suppose it'd be the same if I went back to Leicester. You'd get into that. As the wife says, no, she wouldn't like to go back to Leicester. No, it is much more pleasant.
Yeah, yeah. So this place hadn't really changed.
No, not really. Well, there's quite some more houses in the area now. Of course, there's quite a... since I went away, there's two big sites being built up there, just above us here now. And another thing, when I was home here, I knew every house here. I knew the name of every house. I knew every person that lived in the houses here. So you knew everybody. Now, of course, I don't know the people around here now. I know the people close to me, but there's a lot of people in them houses up there I do not know.
Mm. Now, you were in Leicester when VE Day happened, I think.
Yes, I was in Leicester. Yeah. Yes, we
what
had
do
the
you
day.
Remember about VE Day?
When VE Day came, we were allowed to go, have the day off kind of thing. So I went to Leicester. Of course, the wife lived in Leicester then. So it was a question of getting to Leicester. Mm-hmm. Yes, and they'd phone the bus company to take the people that... Because there was a lot of local people there, buses used to run from the camp into Leicester every weekend. So Friday night... When we finished work Friday night in the depot, the buses would be waiting for us in Old Dalby, and then we would go into Leicester and we stay there, and then Sunday night we catch the bus back to the camp. And the London people, the train used to stop in Old Dalby station, and the London people went down on the train.
Yeah.
And of course that was pandemonium, that was. You could see them shoving them in through the windows, because the trains in them days were so... fully loaded, so you had to, they were all piled in through the windows.
Yeah.
Now, while I was at Old Dalby, we used to do like a guard duty in Nottingham.
Did you?
Yes, we used to go to Nottingham and you'd have sidearms, bayonets. Mm-hmm. And you'd go up to the city and you'd parade the streets in there and see any ROC personnel there that they behave themselves.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yes. And then in the evening, you made sure that when the train come in for Old Dalby, that the if the CO of the camp was there, you made sure that he had his courage to himself to come back down. So, yes, I used to go to... I've done quite a bit of duty in there, yeah. in
what
Nottingham.
What did they call that duty then?
Oh, I don't know what it was.
You weren't sort of guarding anything particular?
No, you weren't guarding. No, it was just seeing to the personnel, your own personnel. Of course, it was you couldn't see to any other personnel, only the personnel from the camp, which mostly most of the boys would have the ROC badge on their caps. So if they had that badge on the caps, then you were concerned about them, you know, that if they weren't behaving, you'd approach them and to see about it. Yes.
What sort of trouble did they get up to?
Not really. There wasn't much trouble with them there.
Was it drinking or fighting?
Yes. But we used to go around the centre where the pubs were to make sure that there was no trouble with our own boys, kind of thing. But no, we never had trouble with them. No, never had to apprehend anybody. I can't remember it anyway.
Quite a cushy job then, really.
Yes, it was, yes.
Good.
Yeah.
So what about Leicester on VE night? Did you see any celebrations?
No, not really. We went down to the... now, my mother-in-law worked as a barmaid because she was a widow. She worked as a barmaid in a hotel there, and we went down to the hotel. And her brother-in-law, the wife's uncle, was there, and we had, with the crowd there, we had the celebrations there with the crowd there. So, no, we didn't go into the city with all the other crowds.
What about VJ Day? Because, of course, there have been the bombs dropped, haven't there?
Yes, yeah.
What do you think about that? Heard about the dropping of the bombs?
Yes, we'd heard about the dropping of the bombs. Well, you were glad in one way that it was all over. Mm. The method they used, you didn't query the method they used to stop it as long as it stopped the war, kind of thing. That's the... what I was thinking at the time, anyway.
Were you desperately wanting the war to end?
Or? Oh, yes. Yeah. Oh, definitely, mm-hmm. Yes. Well, as I say, the quicker it ended, the quicker we get out. Mm-hmm. But I would have had to wait quite a bit longer if it hadn't been that I got discharged.
Yes.
Because my number was way down the list for coming out.
Mm-hmm. So, did you celebrate VJ Day?
And it was very similar to the VE Day. You know, we are at Old Dalby and we came in exactly the same. No, we can't. I can't remember much more than that. We were at the local hotel when my mother-in-law worked.
Mm. Have you got any others? Military police, did you have any contact with military police
or
see them anywhere?
Well, you see them because I used to come from Sittingbourne or in Kent anyway. While I was stationed in Kent, of course, I had to come through London. And yes, I would see the military police, but I was never approached by them. And
what did you think of them? What sort of people were they?
Well, being I wasn't in contact much, I had a lot of boys saying about them, but I wasn't in contact myself with them, so no, they didn't bother me at all. And usually I had a pass anyway, you know, I was well covered with it if I was approached by a military police anyway. No, I used to see them on the station because I used to come into Cannon Street in London Bridge from Kent, and then I used to get on the tube for Paddington, and I catch my train at Paddington down. So I would see him there. And Sometimes I would go to St. James's Park in the summertime. I'd be in St. James's Park because I used to catch, the train I used to catch was late at night at 12. I used to catch from Paddington. Okay. I was down there in the morning.
So what of course, they did.
That's what I say. I used to go to St. James's Park and have a walk around Buckingham Palace and that area. Uh-huh. And then back down to Paddington, catch the train. Yes. Well, I spent quite a bit of time around St. James's Park and around Buckingham Palace, what if I didn't.
Yeah. What was London like then?
It was quiet to me. Anyway, it wasn't that busy when I used to come through. Most probably the time of day I used to come through, perhaps different. Oh, I found it quite ordinary coming through London.
Mm-hmm. Did you ever come in contact or hear about conscientious objectors?
No, only locally, yeah. I knew some. There was actually the person next door, not the new house here now, then used to live there. Then it doesn't live there. He passed away now, but he was a conscientious objector. Oh. Yes.
What did you think of that?
Well, that was his belief, and I don't know. I didn't think much about it at the time. No.
Didn't irritate you?
No, it didn't irritate me at all.
What did your parents think of him?
No, they...
Because they were sending their sons.
Yes, yeah. No, I don't... I'm being a neighbour as well, you know, him over the years, you know. It's only that when the war came that he was a conscientious objector. And he, I think they used to take him somewhere away for a while. If I can remember rightly, yes.
Yeah.
I don't think they were allowed to stay at home all the time.
Yeah.
Mm. I think they had to go away at times. Mm.
Mm. So, you did your bit. Are you glad you went?
Yes. Yes, in a way, yes, I'm glad. It does open your eyes to see everything. You know what went on. You've experienced it. Yes, I think I was glad I did go.
Yeah. And you're still married?
Yes.
I think it's going to last. How many years is it now?
Well, that's my, from the Queen.
Oh, yeah?
I had that because we got married in the same year as the Queen.
Oh, right.
So when she celebrated her 50th,
yeah,
her golden wedding, I failed to get to Buckingham Palace, but... we were invited to go to Stradey Castle in Llanelli.
Yeah.
And the Prince of Wales came down to have a chat with us.
Yeah.
Yes, we all the couples in Carmarthenshire that was celebrating their golden wedding at that time were invited to the Stradey Castle.
Yeah.
Yes, we had a very nice afternoon down
and
there.
You had five children, was it?
I got five boys.
Five boys, yeah.
Yes.
Wonderful, yeah. Lovely. Anything else you want to tell me?
No, not really.
No, right. Well, thank you very much indeed for your time, Ray Williams.
Yes.
That's Ray Williams, End of Reel 5.